Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. Back in January, the Ontario government announced it was spending $40 million to help small and rural municipalities improve the delivery of critical programs and services. It is part of a larger effort to create a more efficient municipal government and save taxpayers money. Every municipality in Northumberland is tasked with reviewing how it works and how it can better serve the public. Making Town Hall run smoothly is a huge task. As you're about to hear, it is one job Coburg CAO Tracy Vaughan takes on with enthusiasm. A recent report to Council paves the way for some major changes. She is charged with taking the recommendations and putting them into practice. The report calls for hiring more staff, up to 13 new people. It suggests streamlining some departments, but also shoring up some others. The report could be a blueprint for any municipality in Northumberland. Tracy Vaughan is going to walk us through these changes and explain how this is going to impact taxes, but also make a difference in the lives of all residents. Here is that interview. I'm so pleased to have with me today Tracy Vaughan, Chief Administrative Officer for the Town of Coburg. Welcome to Consider This.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
The topic of organizational review for the Town of Coburg doesn't sound very sexy. Can you tell the listeners why this is really important to them?
Absolutely. That's a great question. And sorry for the chuckle there, but absolutely. I think it's a hard concept to understand or imagine. Basically, what we're looking at is an organizational review is the ways that the town does business. So you may be aware we did a service level review as well, which looked at the services provided by the town to the residents of Coburg and to visitors of the community. And then the next step that council wanted us to pursue was then to look at an organizational review, which really looks at the capacity that you have at the organizational level. So what are the staffing resources that you have in place? Are they appropriate? Are they sufficient? Are they meeting the needs to deliver those programs and services that have been considered to be so vital for the community? If there are any gaps, what are they? And how do you address them? It also looks at a couple of areas like your structure. So is your structure appropriate for the way that you do your business? Is your policy sort of landscape? Do you have the right tools in play to manage the way that people do their work? And do we have the right ability to move things forward in the most efficient and effective way? So it looks at the people, the ways we work, the rules within which we work, and then gives recommendations on here's all the things you do really well, and here's some areas that you can identify for improvement. That really is what an organizational review in its most simplest terms.
From a everyday citizen point of view, though, what we're really talking about is, when I go to the counter, who am I going to be talking to?
Right.
When I have a plan, who am I going to give it to? Yes. Who's going to be out walking the streets, checking the meters and that kind of stuff. We're talking about the people and the jobs that they do and all those changes that might be taking place or not.
And how they do them, right? And how does that impact the service that you receive as a consumer of that product or service? So as a resident, when you walk up to the counter, you have a certain expectation of how that person is equipped to deal with your need and how they do that in an effective way. And the organizational review looks at that and says, how have we done everything that we need to do as an organization to ensure that we're delivering the best service, that we're equipped to meet the needs, and we're also positioned to face the future. So that's how a resident would see that impact.
One of the key themes of the report was related to staffing levels.
Yes.
And while the report concludes generally Coburg is similar to other municipalities in its size, and in some cases there's not enough staff to meet the increased demands of people wanting to use town services or enough to meet the regulatory compliance requirements of new services. What does that mean?
Right. So we're going to try and take some of that like bureaucratic speak and we're going to boil it down to what does that really mean? So what it's looked at is what are the growth or demand pressures facing the organization? Are we currently meeting the needs of our community? And will we continue to meet those needs as our community grows, evolves, and changes? It then looks at do we have the right positions to look at managing risk, managing liability, ensuring that we have our due diligence in a number of areas that, you know, could get litigious. So for example, looking at the way that we procure our goods, do we have the right expertise, processes, policies in play? So it looks at, again, sort of a number of those factors to really examine, you know, are we prepared to, again, meet the demand of the existing need, meet the demands of growth, manage risk and liability? And then it looks at the strategic direction set by council and what are the priorities of the council term and what are the priorities in other master plans and strategies? And where do we have gaps where we're not perhaps meeting those needs? And what is the solution to ensure that we're able to advance those strategic priorities? So those are sort of the main areas where that staff capacity is looked at, examined, and proposed.
In the report, it seemed to draw a conclusion that staffing levels are not sufficient. As CAO, it's your job to align all these resources and all these priorities. What message does this aspect of the report send to you?
I think what it says is that Coburg has really tried to ensure that we have been extremely cautious and careful with spending. We have tried to mitigate impacts on the tax levy. We're very aware, you know, for residents, the biggest consideration or concern is around increases to taxes. However, we also recognize that there's a responsibility for us to deliver good, effective, solid government services. And at times when more attention perhaps has been paid to keeping those levels down, there have been sacrifices along the way. And it's all been done, you know, with the best intentions. And when growth continues to increase and you don't increase your programs or services or your staff to deliver those programs and services, you start to see this growing gap that is created. The other piece, I think the municipal government environment, like every other environment, has gotten much more complex. New legislation has come into effect that really govern the way municipalities deliver programs and services. New expectations. There's definitely competing priorities, looking at the future, looking at things like sustainability, which wasn't a consideration, you know, 10, 15 years ago in terms of the way we planned our communities, delivered our programs and services. So taking all of those pieces and really looking at how's the best, most effective way to meet these demands, to honor our residents, and to deliver that good government service. And I think that's what we've tried to do with this report is take all of those recommendations and look at what is achievable, what is sustainable, and how do we move forward in all of those categories.
Well, I think all you have to do is drive around Coburg and you see all the development that's going on. And, you know, it's quite explosive right now. I mean, there's all kinds of projects going on. Also, in terms of economic development, we see new businesses wanting to open up. We see the empty storefronts and people yeah. want to see a vibrant economy. And those were two areas that were particularly pointed out. Can you tell us about what the report said about those two areas and what you hope to do to improve those?
Absolutely. So from a planning perspective, it looked at two key factors. One was when you see obviously a lot of development activity like you do in a community like Coburg, it's really important to ensure that you're able to meet that need and be able to be thoughtful, responsive, and have some rigor to your process to ensure that anything that is being developed serves the community now, but also serves the community in the future. So one of the areas that has been looked at isn't around inspections, plans examiners, building official type activity, having that additional capacity to ensure that we are ready for the development community. We can ensure when you move into a new development in Coburg, you can be assured that all of the proper inspections, processes, protocols have absolutely been followed, and you can have a degree of comfort in purchasing that home, knowing that all of those standards were applied. The other piece in planning that has been identified is what's referred to as long-range planning. So that's really looking at how do we deal with the demand now and the development now, and what does that look like in 5, 10, 15, 20 years? Are we ensuring that our communities have active transportation? Do we have sustainable design principles? Are we looking at aging in place and mixed modules of communities so that, you know, you don't hit a point where you have to leave Coburg because there isn't enough diversity in housing stock, for example, to be able to stay in the community that you really want to be continue to be an active member. So it looks at things like, you know, active transportation, sustainability, all of these sort of policy issues, and make sure that we have that eye to the future and that what we're doing now is serving us in the future, and that we're building these communities with design principles in mind to ensure that we're future facing, and that you see sometimes in communities where perhaps those factors haven't been considered, and then trying to manage them after the fact is incredibly complex, expensive. It involves a whole other degree of interventions that, you know, are much more cost prohibitive for the taxpayer. With respect to economic development, which was the other area you mentioned, we know that obviously we are hopefully coming out of this pandemic. We're hopefully reaching the point of endemic at some point in the near future. And we want to ensure that we have the right tools and supports in play to support our business community. We want to ensure that our business owners, they have the right resources, they have the right supports, they know who they can go to for those tools as well. How do we attract good new business to Coburg? How do we ensure that people understand what Coburg has to offer? And how do we ensure that all of that's also factored into the way we build and develop our community? Because we want to ensure that we're able to have these lovely businesses in our downtown core, throughout Coburg, that residents can access the services they need, the products they need, and we have a prosperous community. And I think if the pandemic has shown us nothing else, it's the importance of local business and having local business supports when situations like this come up, and we're all trying to learn new things and adapt to new pressures. And I think the economic development position has that mindset of how do we build that capacity in our community.
The report suggests the need to hire as many, to my count, as 13 staff using fees and savings and taxes. Now, there are citizen groups in the town who often argue the civil service is already too large. And there are also politicians who are on the record as saying they want to reduce taxes, not spend more, and that there is too much staff and we need to become more efficient. How do you see your role in navigating these tricky waters, and how do you strike the right balance?
I think what's really important is to ensure that you build in processes and rigor into your system to know that when you are looking for tools, resources, staff, that you're answering, you know, key questions. Certainly, there's always an opportunity to look at the way we're delivering our business. Is there a more efficient or effective way to do it? So one of the themes in the report, and something I've noticed in my time, is where we can bring in new tools that can take staff away from sort of paper-based processes, speed up processes, and then free up some staff time or resources for higher value activities. The other piece is really being able to understand what are the pressures facing the corporation, where are those gaps, what are the strategic opportunities we need to pursue, and what does that look like from a funding perspective, and are there any other areas where we can find some cost savings, some cost efficiencies, are there other revenue tools available to the municipality where we can leverage other funding? So some of that can come in the way of user fees. Some of it is, you know, unfortunately, when individuals don't park in the right place and they get a parking ticket, they're not always the most fun revenue tools. But as an organization, it's looking at what are all the tools in your toolkit, again, to balance the demand on the tax levy, because it's really important that we understand how we can do this in a measured, sustainable way, and making sure we're looking at all of those avenues.
Will it also mean tax increases? I mean, if we want to have better services, maybe we have to pay for them as well.
Unfortunately, yes. Where, you know, if we are improving services, if we are increasing services to respond to demand, then it does mean that we need to have the resources to do that. Unfortunately, that, you know, municipalities have to pay gas for the trucks like everyone else. I mean, we see the rising costs of fuel. There are a number of factors almost, you know, sort of outside of the control of the municipality in terms of rising costs within inflation and those sort of market goods. And then there's how do we continue to meet the needs of a growing and evolving community? And, you know, that does take tools, it does take staff, but my commitment is to ensure that anytime we're putting those positions forward, we've always looked to see, is this the most effective way to do it? Is there a more efficient way to do it? Have we exhausted all of those possibilities? And do we continue to look at our programs and services and make sure that it's still relevant? And are there opportunities to find cost efficiencies when perhaps a demand changes or a trend changes that help offset some of the new costs? But definitely there is a cost of delivering those services.
But at the root of many of these discussions is a public perception of what it is the civil service contributes to the town.
Yeah.
Often civil servants are met with derision and stereotyping. Hence, they receive a lot of scorn and are often a favorite target for some. I want to give you a chance to change people's perception. What would you like people to know about the civil service in Cobourg?
Thank you. I think, you know, what I find really interesting in municipal government is the type of work that we do touches people's lives every single day. You know, when you take a walk in your neighborhood, it's the roads and the sidewalks, it's the snow clearing, it's the, you know, it's looking at the parks, the maintenance of parks, and, you know, or is the garbage collected? Is the park kept in a reasonable way? When you need to come in and have some of those milestones in your life, you're getting married, you're coming in and you're talking to the clerk and you're getting your marriage license. You know, perhaps your children are playing hockey or your grandparent is involved in seniors programs. There is such a depth and breadth to the type of services, particularly at the lower tier in municipal government, that touches our lives in so many ways, but we don't always think about where they come from. And I think, you know, it's really when we see those services removed, and I think when we reflect on the pandemic, a lot of what people missed was social opportunities, you know, the opportunity to watch their kids play hockey, to, you know, perhaps go to a fitness program with their friends, to be able to gather together. And all of these pieces are really tied into municipal services in some way, shape, or form. So I know it sometimes can be an abstract concept, that building, you know, on King Street, that where they do whatever it is they do there. But when you look at all of the different, when you turn your tap on and you get clean drinking water and, you know, those types of things, these are the ways that municipal services touch your lives in meaningful ways each and every day. But sometimes it's hard to pinpoint what all of them are.
Not everything in the report was critical. I want to give you an opportunity to tell listeners one thing that was positive in the report.
Actually, KPMG noted how lean the organization is. And this wasn't just a criticism. This was also a compliment in terms of how we have been able to look at delivering our business in a way that was the most cost effective for the taxpayers. They particularly noted the way that we double or triple hat some of our positions. So while there may not be enough work for a body in one particular area in community services, they may work as a parks attendant. They also, you know, do some winter snow clearing. There's ways to ensure that the staff resources that we have are used in effective ways so that we're able to deliver a lean and efficient organization that continues to deliver programs and services. So, you know, I thought that was a really thoughtful comment from KPMG around how we've been able to deliver and manage costs.
So what are the next steps?
So the next steps, we have had some great conversations with council, both in open session and some in closed. We are identifying some other cost savings that we are going to bring to the 2022 budget deliberations to also help mitigate some of the costs that are proposed in the organizational review. That sort of suite of staff have been presented to council. They understand and appreciate the core responsibilities of these positions. And what you will see in budget is each division will present sort of the drivers of their budget. New staff are an important area that we're going to highlight. What you may have seen in budgets past is it's not as clear perhaps when new staff are added and why that staff member is added, what's all the information around that position and what's the return on investment. You're going to see that in a much more detailed way this year. As well, it's going to provide council and the public opportunity to comment, give feedback. Certainly staff will be taking the direction of council as to what will be included in the final budget that will be voted on in December. And then we have an opportunity to look at the other ways that we can modernize and affect the organization. So we have a number of activities in the structure and ways of working. We're going to look at some minor realignments in the organization to ensure that we're most effective. We're also going to look at rolling out, as I mentioned earlier, training programs, performance management, staff appreciation. We're also going to be looking at bringing in some tools to be more effective and efficient. We're looking at different ways we can manage and mitigate risk. And some of those as well will have some cost efficiencies built in once they come into effect. No doubt the budget deliberations will be robust ones. We will have lots of information to discuss. No doubt council will ask lots of questions and staff are prepared to answer those questions. And at the end of the day, when the budget is voted on, we will take the marching orders from council and we will do everything within our ability to continue to build this organization and deliver on our commitments to our community. And I'm really hoping to see that residents will begin to see a bit of a difference in terms of that customer service experience. And when they contact a staff member at the town of Cobourg, they know someone's going to respond to them. They're going to get an answer. They're going to know what the expectations are and they're going to have good customer service experiences. And not to say that that isn't happening already, but we want to ensure that customers know what the standards are, that staff know what the standards are. There's a process and rigor to that. And we continue to build and grow on the way that we do our business. I'm excited. I think we have a lot of things that we can continue to do in the great ways we've done them. And we have some really incredible opportunities to improve. And I think there's a lot of work ahead of us. Certainly, I don't want to understate that, but I think it's exciting work. And to me, if you're in public service, you're committed to helping people and you want to ensure that you're responsive to your community. And that's really what frames the way that I do my work and why it is I came to the town of Cobourg.
Tracy Vaughn, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you. It was a real, real pleasure. I appreciate it.
That was Tracy Vaughn, the Chief Administration Officer for the Town of Cobourg. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.